Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
If the glue can't go, what do you do? No, trust them as far as I can throw them.
You know, I'm just happy to be able to be part of a lineage of great players that have put on some unbelievable performances.
Irving is a machine, 36 points.
Last 8 points here for Boston. Playoff Kyrie.
The playoffs are like a blizzard.
John Kane Nordstrom plants the dagger in the hearts of the Leafs.
That's not baseball talk.
Let the Gardy party begin. Brett Gardner plants one in the right field seat.
Gardy's very good at it if you don't get it all the way.
Everything's just disemboggled on that team.
Right now.
Martha, the bond's on fire.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, man, what a night, huh? You're bouncing around. You got the Red Sox, you got the Bruins, you got the Celtics.
That was fun.
It was good. It was, some of it was good.
Yeah.
Not all of it was good. Some of it was okay. Some of it was outright ugly.
Well, other than that, yeah, I would say everything was good last night. No,
not everything. But tell me what was the best thing you saw on TV last night?
The best thing I saw.
Yes, the best thing you saw of all these games. What was the best thing?
There's a lot. Okay, so the best thing I saw was that either Kyrie's performance, and by the way, how stupid all of you must feel to actually believe that this team is better without Kyrie.
Idiot,
okay,
idiot green teamers.
Or the way the Bruins responded after a 2-2 game.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
2-2, didn't you feel like it was sort of slipping?
Yes.
So I would say those are the positives.
Good selections.
Can I give you a negative?
Nope.
One negative from last night?
Hold on. What's the count? 0-2?
Let me give you one negative.
Go ahead. Come on, Brazier.
The 0-2 cock shot from Ryan Brazier right down the pipi, okay, to Gardner.
What?
That, I would say, is the low point of the evening.
Oh,
but other than that, I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, my God. That was bad. I would say that Brandon Workman loading up all those bases was not a pretty sight either.
You want to focus on the negative.
Yep. It's the Red Sox today. It is the Red Sox. Talking about the Red Sox, Alex Cora will join us in half an hour.
He'll be
in a great mood.
I'm sure he's doing good.
In half an hour. So let's start with the Bruins and the Celtics. Then we'll get to the Red Sox, and we'll get to Cora, and then we'll be all over the place all day today. Again, Christian Fourier is away. He's in Cabo. He's sitting back, feet up on a nice lounge, enjoying one of those little fruity drinks that he likes with a Mai Tai with a little umbrella in there. You know, he's having a good time.
Yeah.
He's the smart one
this week,
taking off, and Lou and I are stuck in here. You're right about the Bruins, though.
What's wrong with stiffing some hair?
So they get a 2-0 lead in this thing, and you're saying, wow, right out of the gate, we're looking pretty good. And then you could see the momentum was shifting.
Yes.
You know, finally the Maple Leafs said, oh, we're in for a game tonight. We're in for a game. They're doing a couple different things to us right now. So we've got to get into the game. And suddenly it's a 2-2 game. How many times were they dealing with that? It was a 2-2 game, and then they got the 2-goal lead, and then Toronto came back. But to me, I agree with you. The resiliency of the Bruins, it was like, screw this. I don't care how good this team is. I don't care how quick they are. We are going to win this game. And that was big. Now, has my opinion changed? I'll say Bruins in 7. I'm not changing. You changing?
No. I said Bruins in 7.
Okay.
Nope. I'm fine with that. And really, I mean, you had those numbers yesterday about getting these guys going, right?
That first line.
The members of the line that were previously known as the top line. We'll get to that a little bit later. But I would say, obviously, Pasternak. Was he benched last night?
Something seemed to happen early on. And then, obviously, Heinen went on that line. And then,
well, they made the switch, contrary to popular belief in the morning.
Yes.
Cassidy made the switch and had Heinen in the first line, Pasta on the second line. But still, there was two PKs in there, but 338, I think, he had in the first period.
Right.
Was there a message being sent? Because let's face it, he hasn't been very good.
It's a good point. Maybe he was. He was far more aggressive,
whatever,
I thought, in this game. Yes,
whatever, it worked.
Yep.
And I think, the way they came out of the gates, The way they responded and putting pressure on Freddie Anderson, I thought was outstanding. Now, there was some concern, again, when they tied it up 2-2, because that was probably the first time when you started to hear all those people out there mentioning Tuukka Rask's name. That goal from Austin Matthews to tie it 2-2, I mean, that can't go in. I think he was expecting maybe him passing it off to his Tuukka's right, but bad angle.
Maybe.
Right off his chest and into the net, pretty much.
Well, he also made a great save.
Or through the arm?
He made a great save later.
Seven-hole piece? Where's Christian? Seven-hole?
Nine-hole?
I think it was seven.
The 11-hole. Overall, I would say he was up and down last night. You could say the same thing about Freddie Anderson.
I thought
up
he was good. Yeah. He just that one, I think he wanted to get back.
Yeah, I would agree. But, I you know, going in there, so much of this series, I think, depends. And we saw the shift with the Bruins of taking Pastrnak off that first line, other than on power plays.
Sure they did.
It's very interesting, you know. If you switch over and you're going to be sports centric.
Yeah.
And I know they get up early in the morning, but shouldn't you actually watch the games? So apparently they were taking a curtain call this morning. Mutt was leading Wiggy into a little curtain call because, according to both of them, even though you were correct about this, that Cassidy was going to change up that first line, they apparently didn't think he did.
What is the apology today? Because you were right about the Pastrnak line change thing.
I was.
You and Lou had a ferocious 30-minute battle.
Back and forth.
About what the Bruins should do about the line changes. You were adamant. Keep the line together.
Keep the line
Pastrnak, Marchand, Bergeron,
good
best
job.
Line in hockey. Keep them together. Lou was adamant. Switch them up. Turns out you were right.
I was
Pastrnak's
right.
Pastrnak's first big goal of the night to break the 2-2 tie came after a benching and back on that line with...
All right, so neither one of these guys watched the game.
Apparently
okay,
not.
Neither one of these guys watched the pregame. Neither one of these guys watched the postgame.
Or listened to
neither
Cassidy.
One of these guys followed anyone who covers the Bruins on Twitter.
Didn't they have sound
neither
of Cassidy
one of
this
them.
Morning?
They're
right?
sitting there having a sports talk conversation about a game last night that neither one of them apparently watched.
Should have stuck to the Mueller report.
Unfortunately, I mean, listen, it's I shouldn't even have to defend myself because any Bruins fan knows out there after watching the game
you were right,
that Heinen went up, Pastrnak came down. Yes, they scored. It was a shift change. Marchand and Bergeron were out there. Pasta jumped on. He took the second goal was a power play, guys. You understand what a power play is?
What is a power
That's
play?
When the Bruins have Explain five guys. That. They have four.
So you actually have
so
power
the Bruins
over the
have
other team.
Two power play units. Yeah. So their first unit is a whole bunch of guys that sort of play together. You know, it's not a five-on-five line, but they'll throw these guys in there, Krejci, and put them all together, and Krug will be the only defenseman.
Sounds
they
like
use
Peter
one
Park
defenseman
teaching.
For the power play at times, and then here comes the second unit. And then the second unit comes out, and they are like their own little cute little line. And then they come out, and they play.
60 minutes.
But they wear the same uniforms, right?
Maybe
the first,
you know what
second,
they should
third,
do is...
Line, same uniforms?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Same they're on the same team, and it's,
okay,
it's called five-on-four. It usually lasts for 2 minutes.
Oh, really?
Unless it's a major.
Are the markings we call the center red line.
Yeah, maybe they should listen to the head coach, and maybe he can dumb it down for them after the game, talking about why he switched the lines.
Isn't just moving Pasta around. He wasn't on top of his game, and for whatever reason, Heinen has played, you know, with Bergie and Marsh when Pasta missed 4 or 5 weeks. Did a good job up there. Tailed off a little at the end. I'm not sure Dan can sustain it at this point in his career every night against the top lines, against the top D, but he certainly does a nice job in spots. Pasta and Krejci have played together, so it's just a different look. Johansson's back in. That gives us some balance in the third line, a threat to score with Charlie. But maybe a little more than... what we had. So.
All right, so he's verifying pretty much what you said to Wiggy.
And
you,
I would say
you were right.
Good for Cassidy.
You were right. Can we get a trophy?
No, I don't need to be right. I just don't want them to be, you know, praising each other because neither one of them watched the game.
They,
I feel like it's
freaking.
I don't understand. But I would say last night was tip of the cap to Cassidy. I thought he did exactly what. Now, it would be interesting to me, and I'll go back to it again, and I'll see if I'm proven right or correct again, but... At home, do you do it? No, at home, maybe you like what you saw from these lines, but I think at home, Cassidy can control it a little bit more. But still, maybe he sticks with the line change.
But you know what he can do?
He can control it at home with that last shift. What do you call it? Change.
But I think if he's crafty about it, he can really mess them up, and he can mess up the time that their lines are out there on the ice. So let's say he comes out and he starts that first line. So, okay, we're at home. We're going to dictate, right? Now we'll see what you put out there. Then the next time around, he shifts it, okay? So he kind of changes it around again. And Heinen is back on that first line, just so that he can mess around with him a little bit, because he's in control. up there in Toronto, he's not in control.
He forced them to do something, right? Yeah. What do you guys want to do? I mean, are you going to continue to let these guys with Muzzin and Zaitsev sort of just with that Tavares line just shut down, neutralize it? No. So Cassidy adjusted, and it was a beautiful thing. Now, I know Wiggy doesn't believe that Pastrnak should be moved around because he's so good and that it's never happened before, which...
happens all the time.
It's just, I don't know why we have a conversation about it.
Excuse me, it happened with Tampa Bay in that series against Columbus.
And they still believe that it didn't happen last night. Well, I don't know what Pasta was thinking, because he was actually the player. But here's Pastrnak after the game actually praising.
Did it spark you a little bit, just playing with Krejci mostly tonight, just kind of going for a little bit of a change?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sparked everybody, you know, gave them a little bit different look. It was fun. I've been playing with him a lot, so I know what to expect, and we all know Heinz play great, you know, with these guys, so it's good for us.
Playing with him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played with him most of the game. I think
never move him, though.
I think when he had a couple shifts, honestly, with that first line. Again, that first goal was pretty much like the end of a line change, you know, so... Right. Yeah, even Pastrnak admits it. So it's just, you know, I don't know.
Pastrnak's first big goal.
How do you have a conversation with two people that don't watch the game or know anything about it?
You were right.
Or at least argue with them.
You were right. Give him a gold star. Tyler, get him a gold star over here. He was right.
Anyways, huge
Wiggy
win.
Wiggy was wrong. He
huge,
was wrong.
Huge win from them. I was actually impressed with that team twice. I'll say this.
What's the secondary lead?
2-2 when they answered. And then when Toronto made it 5-4, the way they played those last 4 or 5 minutes, I thought they were going to just sit back and make it inevitable. Yep. They didn't. They fought back.
Yep.
And they created some offense. And you know, and so I just, again, that's a team I trust. I still do. And I know they lost game one. I was disappointed. But I still trust them. They'll win the series.
Let's see if we trust the other team, the team in green. We will talk about them coming up next. And then we're opening up these phone lines.
I don't trust them.
617-779-7937. The Bruins and the Celtics right now on the table. Alex Korer will address some of these questions that we've got for him coming up at 2:30 today. And then we'll get into a lot of Red Sox baseball as well.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Kyrie! Trying to get us back in this game.
He's got 25 in the game.
Kyrie, the last 6 for the Celtics. Irving is a machine! 36 points!
Last 8 points here for Boston. Playoff Kyrie.
Kyrie!
Back to Matthews, off the glass, now rebound by Irving!
The Boston Celtics for some kind of comeback tonight.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's these type of playoff games that sting. They sting.
If there's still one of you out there that, and we had a lot of you, I actually almost think it was in the majority, slight majority, not big majority, but a slight majority.
Split, at least.
Of people a few weeks back that were sitting there going, let this guy go, because you don't like some of the stuff he says, and I understand that, but you have to ignore it. You have to look at what the person does, all right, and then how it helps in the end for your enjoyment of winning these games. If this team loses Kyrie Irving this summer, based on the conditions they're in, salary cap-wise, they can't go out and sign another free agent, okay? They're really locked in. And you out there, green teamers, think that Rozier, Tatum, who I thought had a terrific game last night, Jaylen Brown, and a bunch of these other scrubinos are going to give you an opportunity?
Scary Terry.
To get anywhere close?
Kyrie's great.
An NBA championship? This guy is a top 10 player, and you know what? And you'll see it on the road. He'll play his ass off on the road.
I wonder if Kyle Draper still thinks Al Horford's the most important player.
Oh, please. Stop it.
We did a poll March 5th asking Celtics fans. We posted it. You know, do you want Kyrie? Do you want it? Whatever it is. 57% of you.
Dummies.
Wanted Kyrie out of here.
Dummies.
And if you, and I saw Scal after the game, 100% right. This is why you need him. When things aren't going well, when you're down 12 to one of the worst teams left in the playoffs, in the Indiana Pacers, who's going to get you out of that? When you are on the road, Who is going to score? Who
I'm
is going to give you the
people are at who
the big
said,
fourth quarter?
I, without Kyrie, where are they?
People really said that.
I don't hear any of them right now.
No way.
You know, he's absolutely right. But this is the special. This is when the stars. This is why Kyrie is here. This is why you need him. This is why he's a championship caliber player. Because in the postseason, you watch. The only guy that will be consistent for as many games as this thing is Kyrie Irving.
Correct.
He'll go on the road, and he'll still be very good.
I agree. And the other guys...
Everybody else will disappear.
And the other guys...
They'll have their moments.
Yeah. I would guess
they'll
that
have their moments.
Many of them will be wilting this weekend out there in Indiana, even though they're playing a subpar team. A team that if they had Victor Oladipo with a 12-point lead in the fourth quarter, a 2-point lead in the ball with 52 seconds remaining, would have beaten the Boston Celtics in the TD Garden last night.
So yesterday...
they would have had that guy.
Yesterday we had Scal here and we had you there, and I said to you guys, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they lose tonight. And both you guys, no, I mean, listen, they shouldn't lose.
What did you think
when they were down 12? What did you think when they were down a couple four points with 50 seconds to go?
I said, I'm working with a freaking genius.
No, I'm just
saying. He was right about Cassidy and his move.
You trust him?
He was wrong, and now he's right about this. No. I don't trust this team.
You think they're going to sweep Mountain Indiana? No. Not a chance in hell.
Listen, the biggest problem...
They might lose both.
The biggest problem you had yesterday
unless
in that
Kyrie
game...
Kyrie does something crazy.
Exactly. Again. Kyrie's going to win these things, and that's what happens in the NBA. Super...
They might be better off without him.
Super... Stupid. I swear to God, the Green Teamers out there, and our guy Gilroy and all these others, they say they're Celtic fans. You know what they want? They want a cute little team of underachievers who try real hard. They don't understand... You need a championship team here. It's not about just the Boston Celtics we're talking about. Look at the freaking banners up there in the rafters. This is not about building cute little teams. Scary Terry will all walk around with T-shirts. Stop it. This is about building a team that can win a championship. And the only way you do it is with superstars. And you're right, Lou. They went on the road in the playoffs. These other guys, they don't do that. Last night, he was immense. The stuff he was doing, by the way, Pacers were playing phenomenal defense on Kyrie. Matter of fact, at the end of the game, because they were playing so well, what did he do? He distributed.
Well, they double-teamed him. I mean, they had 2-3 guys always on him.
Unbelievable.
And he did exactly that. I love my heterodox hoopster. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, no one's calling him that? No. My heterodox hoopster?
I haven't heard that yet.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Sounds good.
Yeah. I was reading Chris Gasper.
It's quite the vernacular.
Yeah, I was reading Chris Gasper's article. I'm sorry. I'm trying to improve my vocabulary.
One of the
he delivered a classic playoff performance from Kyrie Irving.
Chris Gasper, Boston Globe.
Heterodox hoopster.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a good alliteration.
I knew that or not. Yeah.
But do you agree that many of these Celtics, the Green Teamers, just want a cute little team out there? And they want to watch the kids mature. It's almost like, have kids. Okay, have kids.
Though,
you
can
watch your kids grow up.
I'll admit, I had my frustrating moment with him. Where I said that if he wants to leave, I'm not going to beg him to stay.
He's not going
because I was tired of him.
Come on, Debbie.
But I never, from day one, ever thought that this team was better without Kyrie Irving.
He's not going anywhere.
Now, there was a moment, I'll admit, a moment of weakness when his words got to me to the point where I'm like, I am not going to sit here and kiss this guy's ass and whatever, you know, whatever he wants to have him to please stay here. If he wants to stay here, great. If he moves on, I understand he'll never be the same, and it's a huge hit for this organization. As you pointed out, a lot of people forget. You know, you can't just go out and match that max contract. You can't do it in free agency. You can't. But never did I ever believe that this team was ever going to be better than him, because last night they lose that game without Kyrie Irving. There's no question in my mind.
All right, so if we're balancing the two of them, I had not changed my mind on the Bruins series. I still think it goes 7, and the Bruins win. And I would say this, Lou, that those teams are virtually even. Okay, virtually even from a talent standpoint. Matter of fact, Toronto may be better than I thought they would be. And that first-line defensive unit is better than what I thought. But I didn't watch much of them during the course of the season, as you know, and I'm watching them faithfully now. On the other hand, I look at the Celtics, and nothing has changed again with the Celtics. This is a crappy team they're playing. I'll give them all the credit in the world. They're busting their ass. The Indiana Pacers are playing as hard as they can play. They are defending on every single ball. They got hard. They just don't have scorers. They can't score.
I'm just confused. Are we supposed to praise them for coming back 12 in the fourth quarter? Is that what we're supposed to do? Was that them flipping the switch? Like, was that? Because I have heard some people impressed with this win last night.
It's a home game against a team.
And the fact that they came back from 12 and how... I should be somehow impressed by that.
Nah, I wouldn't get too impressed about it. To me, listen, Kyrie did what he had to do in the best stretch that they had without Kyrie, where I'll give credit to some of the other players, is when they were down by 12, and I think they had it down to 4 by the time Kyrie got in back into the game again. Which, by the way, was another strange move to me, and it worked out last night for Brad Stevens. I know Brad likes bringing him into games at certain times because he's, you know, balancing the minutes. That's fine in the regular season, but these are playoff games, Brad. So when your team is down by 12 and you're in serious trouble, you may want to get your best player out there on the floor right away.
Well, he still played almost 40 minutes.
He did, but I don't care.
And I agree because I think it was about – and I think it was about a little over eight minutes to go when you saw Kyrie get off the bench.
He couldn't score.
And my first thought was like, okay, I think that's like a minute more than usual. I think he usually comes back with like six and a half minutes to go in the game, you know, during the regular season. Because there's been times you sit there and say, Kyrie, hello, Brad. 6:45 to go, tie game. What do we? 6 minutes to go, and then he comes in the game. You know, so I think last night almost felt like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. He brought him in a little earlier than maybe he had in the regular season. Played 40 minutes. I mean, he and Tatum. How many Tatum had? 38.
But I don't care. That's what you're going to play.
No, I know. But it wasn't like he benched him. What are you saying? Like, hey, it wasn't like he sat him on the bench.
When's the last time they played?
Minutes.
They played a 1 o'clock game on Sunday afternoon, and we're talking Wednesday night. I expect when the NBA gives you a cushion like that, I expect you can get 40 minutes if you need it. Mm-hmm. They needed to win that game. You can't split at home with the Pacers. They came this close to splitting with the Pacers, the worst team in the playoffs right now. All right? That close.
Well, you heard so much about game one and say, you know, the Celtics, they just didn't shoot well. But when you talk about how Indiana, well, can you say the same thing? Maybe Indiana didn't shoot well. No. Celtics played good defense. There was a reason for that. So you knew Indiana was going to come out and shoot better, just like you knew the Celtics were going to come out and shoot better. They're beating you by 12 to start the fourth quarter. This is a bad team. And the fact that that happened, like you said, doesn't change my opinion of this team one bit. I do not trust them. Didn't you think they were going to win by 20?
Yeah.
Shouldn't they have won by 20?
Here's even worse.
Should they have fought back in the fourth quarter, down 12?
Even worse. What really got me, and as I said, I was going back and forth. I spent most of the time watching the Bruins last night, so I had to rewatch the Celtics early this morning.
Yes.
Was your plan last night?
Yeah. What's that again?
That was my plan. I rewatched the Celtics after the Bruins and some of the post game.
Oh, yeah. No, I watched both of them. I was watching a lot of post game. So here's the problem I had.
I just needed to see the 0-2 clock shot from the other game.
It was quite a
shot.
Oh,
smokes.
So we'll get to that in a second with the manager. He'll be here happy to talk about
That's twice. Sorry. I'll have to say it once.
You got to be careful. It's okay. We can't afford another suspension, especially this week because we only have two guys here. Yeah. And they bring Wiggy in again. Okay. He's probably filled his schedule for the week. But the thing that killed me was, what did they go on? What did Pacers go on? A 15-2 run? A 15-0 run in the first quarter? Something like that? Early second quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me? So you've won game one. You won game one and you didn't win by an awful lot. It was a close game. And you're coming out and you're giving me this type of performance? I'll say this about the Bruins. They responded to open up that game last night, did they not? They sat there and said, we're coming, we're winning this game. They lost the first game in Toronto. We're coming back. Game four is important. And they played like it depended. It was life or death. I didn't see that from the Celtics early on. And Kyrie was basically keeping them together
because, God forbid,
Marcus Morris couldn't do it last
because
night.
Because it's real. Honestly, it really is. It's just subconscious or not, but it is a team that they know that they don't have to. You know what I mean? It's a team. I think you know. We're not going to find out anything about this team, as everybody knows, until Milwaukee,
right.
And then we'll sit there and say, "Okay, all right, listen. Hey, I've been hearing it now for about 3 months. Let's go." Let's see what this flipping the switch looks like, you know, and maybe they beat Milwaukee by 20 in game one, and I'll sit there and say, holy smokes,
let's go.
For you guys. You actually can do that. And I'll eat my words. God bless them. I hope I'm wrong. But I think that this team is just a fraud team who's been throwing out flipping the switch just as an excuse because they know they can't. And we'll find out against Milwaukee.
Well, and it was the reaction I had after
the
game.
Sure as hell did in the first two games.
Now, and Sherrod Blakely and Forsberg and all of the different post-game analysis, they were all sitting there and said, oh, now I think the Celtics can sweep.
That is a homer take if I've ever heard
it. Sure is. Are you kidding me? They won the two home games.
You're supposed to win the two games you play at home.
They haven't played a road game in this series yet.
If these last two games are on the road, you would sit there and say, you know what? Okay.
Loss.
I'll take it. No, no, but
if they, if they won these two,
if these first two are in Indiana and they won these games the way they have,
agreed.
You would have sat there and said, hey, first game you grinded out. Game two, hey, you down 12 in Indiana. You came back and won. That's a good win. Now come home and take care of business.
Right.
But they did it at home. And you sit there and say, am I supposed to be impressed with this?
If they blew out their
big comeback against Indiana?
Milwaukee blew out Detroit in the first two games, right? Played, you know, an even game for the first half and then said, see you later, and left them in the dust. That's what I thought was going to happen last night. It did not. I'm not convinced yet.
No.
So I'm going to have a wait-and-see attitude. Let's see what happens Friday.
But Tatum was awesome.
Tatum was terrific last night. And Kyrie was off the charts.
Off the charts.
And we'll take some phone calls on this. We're going to talk with the manager.
Jason Tatum.
We're going to talk to the manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora, coming
wait to
up
check
next.
In with him. Jeez, I wonder how he's
the
feeling.
One loser for the night.
26-13.
It's early.
He might have a real hangover.
It's early. We'll get to all of that. This hour being brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lowell. Online at 495ram.com. There's a lot going on with the Red Sox. Very little of it is good. Maybe starting pitching. If only wasn't bad again last night. So we'll get to all of that with Alex Cora coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. Time for us to talk, as we do every week, with the Red Sox manager, Alex Cora. It's brought to you by Arbella Insurance and by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. You doing all right, Alex?
I'm doing good, actually. Good? Enjoying the weather here in Tampa. It's kind of perfect.
Good. At least you're enjoying something. That is good. That's always good for the soul. All right. You told us last week that the biggest concern you had, and you thought when it corrected itself, you'd be okay, and that is the starting pitching. And I've got to admit, in this last rotation, you got some good starts. Now, there are some other issues, so let's address them, and we'll start with offense. Last year, you told us that the year before in Houston, you observed that the one thing about the Red Sox lineup, they were far too passive, not aggressive on that first pitch. Other than J.D. Martinez right now, who, again, homered last night on the first pitch, and more specifically, Mookie Betts, they seem very passive. Have you changed the philosophy, or are they not paying attention?
No, I mean, we've been talking about it, and I think people have the wrong idea about, you know, what it really meant to swing at the first pitch. It's not to swing just to swing, but I mentioned it last year, you know, we were trying to avoid the bad takes. A bad take for me and from the organization I came from, the Houston Astros, is a pitch that you can do damage with it. You know, if your pitch is the four-seamer out of third and you get it, well, you know what, go ahead and put a good swing on it. The chances that you're going to hit the ball hard, they're pretty high, and it feels that, you know, that's where we at right now as an offense. There's certain guys that their swing rate are a little bit higher. Obviously, Benny hasn't played the last few days, but he's swinging a lot. Mookie, he's the other way around, actually. And although last year, towards the end of the season, he wasn't as aggressive on the first pitch as probably early in the season, he's in that trend. And one thing about Mookie, and I talk to him on a daily basis, and one thing is to be passive, but if you're ready to hit and you let them know that there's a chance I might swing, you start pushing the pitcher out of the zone. And that's when the 1-0s, the 2-0s, the 3-1 counts come into play. And, you know, he doesn't feel right at the plate. We've been talking about that too. You know, when you don't feel right, well, you know, you're a little bit hesitant and attack certain pitches. But, you know, it's something that we've been talking about for probably the first, 2 weeks, whatever. And hopefully, you know, we can start looking for pitches in the middle of the zone and put good swings on it and start pushing the opposition out of the strike zone.
You know, speaking of Mookie, Alex, kind of it looks like, you know, kind of maybe losing the barrel, you know, popping up to second, popping up to right field. But more so to me, I've seen him a few times now in the past week or so, mid at bat, almost looking back into dugouts for instruction. And as you know, I mean, once you get in that box, it's that instruction part should be over with. He really does seem lost.
Yeah, I mean, mechanically, and I mentioned it yesterday, it feels that he's off. We have some ideas. He has some ideas. So obviously, it's a work in progress. I mentioned yesterday that, you know, last year when he was hitting 380, it was the same search. You know, like he's unstoppable in this search, you know, like, you know, for his swing and the balance and what to do. Last year it was more about looking in 2031 and look at me and he's like, what are you saying? Should I go for it? And I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, just go for it, you know. But this year, he's looking for reinforcement, and you don't see that often. But that's who he is, and you know, we're there for the kid. We on a daily basis, you know, Timmy and Andy and our group are helping him out. And you know, with these guys, as you guys know, sometimes it takes one swing, you know, one swing, and it clicks, and when it clicks, it's fun. But right now, you know, he's grinding. It seems like he's expanding the zone a little bit more than usual, mm-hmm. especially last 5 or 6 games. And we just got to get back to attack pitches in the zone, you know, and kind of like clear your mind when you go to the plate. You know, it's you against the pitcher. It's about competing, and he competes, but at the same time, probably clear some thoughts and just be free at the batter's box and be an athlete.
Dustin Pedroia, one at bat, tells you he's got to leave the game. Apparently, he's feeling something in his knee. And then we've now heard he left the entire clubhouse, was not there at the end of the game. Never a good sign because we know what he's like. Have you got an update? And how fearful are you based on your knowledge of talking to him and maybe talking to some of the medical staff?
Yeah, still waiting to hear from Dustin and the doctors. You know, to get an update. He felt it on the first swing. It seems like when he hit against the front leg, he felt something on the knee. And he left the clubhouse. He was sick, too. You know, there's this flu that has been going on for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. And you know, he was in bad shape during the game and, you know, after what happened and then last night in the hotel. But, you know, we'll see. You know, he's been working so hard to get this to his stage, and he was feeling great. And then this happened. It's obviously it was a bad day in that sense. I talked to him a little bit last night, obviously frustrated. We'll talk to him tonight. Probably he'll fly in here, and then we'll sit down with him and see where we at. But hopefully it's just, you know, just he got scared or something. You know, hopefully that's the case. And, you know, he can be back with us, you know, I don't know, over the weekend or sooner rather than later.
You know, Alex, hindsight's kind of 20-20 at times. You know, he missed a lot of time. Do you look back? Because I think a lot of discussion lately, you look at his start and say, man, he probably could have benefited with a lot more time in AAA, even though he's playing back-to-back nights, just to try to find that swing.
He got a lot of at-bats. We built him up pretty good in spring training. Actually, he played 7 innings towards the end, kind of like the other guys. He was getting his at-bats in extended spring, and he got his at-bats. I think, you know, this whole thing about the swing and all that, as you know, Lou, you know, regardless of, you can have 50, 80, 100 at-bats in the minor leagues. You haven't played at this level for, what, around a year and a half? That's where it's been for Petey, almost 2 years. It's tough, you know, and it's a work in progress, you know. That happens to all those guys that miss a lot of time, you know, to catch up with the speed of this game at this level, it really doesn't matter. You know, you have to be here and try it. And, you know, he was grinding at bats. He was disciplined in the zone. He was getting beat with fastballs in certain counts. But, you know, late in games, he was putting good at bats. So I don't think that's the case. You know, it really doesn't matter.
We're talking to Alex Cora. Dave Dombrowski, I thought, was pretty honest about this whole Swihart and Sandy Leone stuff. He said there was a split in the organization right from the beginning. Gave the indication, without actually citing your name, that you seemed to be in favor of Sandy Leone. Not that you had anything against Swihart, but maybe there was a comfort level. Over the last couple of weeks, because this is a strange decision to make this early in the season, were you having conversations with your pitchers? Were there any guys that were sitting there saying, nothing against Swihart, but boy, Sandy makes us feel a little bit better behind the plate?
No. The pitchers, they didn't have to deal with this. You know, we actually talked when we made the decision in Arizona, you know, and I met with them, and this is where we're going, and everybody was working hard. You know, everybody worked hard at, you know, with Christian too. You know, it's not only Blake, you know, and trying to get in the same game plan and all that. It's one of those that it's a baseball decision. You know, everybody sat down and we talk about, you know, what can we do better, what we need to do, you know, to get in the right track, you know. And I've been saying along, you know, we believe in the kid, we believe in Sandy, we believe in Christian. You know, it was one of those that, you know, how are we going to get back to who we are, what we do, you know. And, yeah, the offense, we know about Blake, but at the same time, we know what Sandy did last two or three years, I know what he did last year behind the plate. And, you know, people get caught up on like, is it the catcher or is the pitcher? I think it's a combination, and it's just one of those decisions that you sit down and you decide, hey, this is the way we're going to go. And, we feel that we're going to be okay with what we decided.
But it's strange. You did it. They made the move so early into the season, risking now losing a kid that was a high prospect in the organization, and your starting pitching wasn't pitching well up to that point. So why did it happen this early?
I don't know. People might say we're panicking. I just say that, you know, you make adjustments through the season. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's in mid-season, sometimes it's late, you know. And as a group, we decided to do it now, and we're going to see where it takes us.
So I was laughing after that Chris Sale star. I saw an article in New York said that Chris Sale hit rock bottom. And I felt the complete opposite. Like, for the first time in 9 months, I actually felt really good about Chris Sale. After watching him throw, I thought the one thing he couldn't do was throw that fastball in on righties. And I think he paid the price a few times, at least that side of the plate. But I know he gave it up, but I saw the velocity, the power. I don't have worries from Sale. I felt better about that outing.
And the delivery. You saw the tempo, too. And that's something that, when you feel right mechanically, you can be as aggressive as you can. And you see the tempo of the delivery in New York compared to the delivery in the first two or three starts is night and day.
You so speed it up? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it feels, yeah. And, you know, he got his legs under it, his balance. And this happens to everybody throughout the season. It just happened to him early in the season. And, you know, he was sick at one, and then, you know, he didn't feel his slider for the other one. But I do feel like after the one in New York, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not a gambling man, whatever, but I do feel that the next one, he's going to put everything together. It was about location, like Lou, you said, you know, with the fastball. He wasn't able to command the fastball on the glove side, which is inside to righties or mm-hmm. into lefties. You see the fastball to Gardner. He was supposed to be away.
LeMahieu.
Inside, the double, LeMahieu. He was supposed to be in, fastball up and away. There was another one there, and he paid the price. He was erratic in the strike zone. But I do feel stuff-wise, he is where he's supposed to be, and I do feel that he's going to take off.
So, and Lou's right. I mean, Sale looked pretty good the other night. You got a good outing out of Erod. Price has been pretty good. Evaldi's been pretty good. And yet, Alex, you still can't win games. You got burned last night by a Brazier 0-2 fastball right down the alley. I mean, is this driving you crazy in that you start to see some signs of stuff coming together that you've been talking about that you need to come together, and then something else comes up and crops up on you?
Yeah, I think if you look at the pitch, obviously it was a mistake. But like Work said yesterday, you know, he didn't put people away when he went into the game. You know, the two walks at this level, you put traffic out there, especially in that place, you're one pitch away from really bad things happen. And, you know, we got a head 0-2 slider. He took his slider, he hung, and he fouled it off. And then we're supposed to go to one place in the strike zone with the fastball, and we leave it over the plate, and we pay the price. But, you know, for how bad it looks and all that, and it's not that I'm positive or I got to play the role of, you know, he's relaxed, he's in a good place, you know. I do feel we're closer than what people think. And everything starts with the pitching. Now the guys are throwing 5-6 innings. We're getting to the point that we're very comfortable with them, and they're going to start giving us, you know, a chance to win ball games because the offense should pick up sooner rather than later. And I do feel that, you know, that's the beginning, and now it's just put everything together. We have to finish games. We have to play better. We know that. But I do feel like the rotation is almost right where it should be, and we're going to take off. That's the division. You know, these guys are playing great right here. The Yankees are going to be better. The other two teams, you know, it's a different vibe. You know, they're running. They're doing stuff differently. It was a tough division last year. It's a tough division this year. It's take care of us right now. Get to the point that we're playing good baseball, and let's see where it takes us. And I do feel that it's going to take us to where we want to be.
You know, one thing with Brazier, I noticed last year in the postseason, right-handed dominant lineups, first two rounds, he had a huge role, obviously, against the Dodgers. The role, I don't know, it seemed a little different, right? Because a lot of lefties there, and maybe I'm wrong, but how important is that changeup for Ryan Brazier when it comes to being effective? The guys from both sides of the plate in your mind, especially lefties.
No, it's a good pitch. It's a good pitch, and it's a pitch that we didn't use often during the season. We used it a little bit in October. He came into play the other day. You know, he threw one. I forgot the game. The game that it was, and he kind of cut into the zone, and the guy hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
But it's a pitch that is going to be very important because with his fastball slider, as a lefty, you know, you start looking in certain areas and you attack those areas. So something away from the lefties is going to be important. And he actually has a good changeup. So that's something we've been talking about it since spring training, and something we will do throughout the season.
So you're always a positive guy. I understand you want to be consistent with your team in that locker room. We've heard Mookie Betts say that, you know, his play is unacceptable. Chris Sale said he embarrassed his family the other night, which I thought was a funny line. Today, David Price has come out and talked about how this team is well aware where they are and they got to turn it around quick. And his words, before we end up trading away Mookie and JD if everything goes south. So it seems like publicly you are trying to stay consistent. But obviously the guys in that clubhouse are well aware of where they are. Is there different private conversations with you and these guys about urgency?
No, it's funny because, you know, you don't have to have a big meeting to address certain things. And throughout last year, there were points during the season. I can tell you, we remember that game with Mookie when he hit the 3 home runs against Kansas City. And I think at that point, I don't know what the record was. We actually talk about, hey, we need to get better. You know, we're winning ball games, but we're not playing good baseball. So those conversations go on and on and on and on throughout the season, and it's been going on since spring training. You know, we have to do this better. We have to do this better. For us to get to the point that we want to do, we have to, let's say, take care of the baseball. We have to play better defense, you know. We have to be more aggressive swinging the bat. And, you know, I do that on a daily basis. You know, it's nothing has changed, you know. The only thing that has changed is our start. You know, last year it was 17-2, and this year it is what it is. So, you know, I'm still very consistent with the message. I believe in what we do. I believe in, you know, the group that we have, and you know, we will turn around, man.
All right, time for the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex Cora. Question submitted by Patrice Pintabone of Waltham, Massachusetts. Could you ever see a Major League Baseball team playing in Puerto Rico?
Ooh,
think about this 20 years from now. Retire, you're the manager of the team down in Puerto Rico. Yeah, there you go.
I would love to, but it's almost impossible. And there's a lot of reasons. You know, one of them is financially. The Expos, they play, I think it was like 20 games or 25 games. Towards the end of the 90s, and it was cool for a moment because, you know, people back home, they enjoy the big stage, you know, like, you know, go see MLB baseball for a little bit, the big concerts and all that. But to sustain a team back home is impossible. So hopefully we can go down there and play three games, you know, next year or in 2 years, whatever. That'd be awesome. But I don't think we can sustain a team down there.
Now, Alex, last one for me. You know, Boston fans around here, they know your organization up and down. You see Pedroia goes down, and right away I start getting tweets about Michael Chavis, right? And I'm thinking Sue Wade Lynn, but hey, Michael Chavis. So you tell me, limited time at second base, what did you see from him? Because to me personally, maybe I'm off, I think he's a work in progress defensively.
Yeah, he's a work in progress. You know, right now, actually, we have communication with Billy and with Bruce Krabbe about, you know, our guys down there. And you start asking about how he's doing at second and all this. And, you know, he hasn't played that much. And there's a few plays that he needs to get better. We're comfortable with him making the routine plays. But as you know, there's other plays that come into play, you know, in the minor leagues and at the big league level. So, like you said, you know, he's a work in progress. He's a guy that he's getting close to what we want to, and you never know, injuries and all that come into play, and you know, he can be here, you know, to contribute, but as of now, you know, he needs a little bit more work at second base.
Question of the week brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager to submit your question for us to ask Alex Cora every Wednesday. Forget the team meeting, by the way. They never work. Head to the bar. Take everybody to the bar and just drink all night. Right? And then you play a game tomorrow night. You'll be fine by tomorrow night. Right?
That's a real hangover tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Hey, we went 2 out of 3. No Christian next week, okay?
Perfect. Oh, very good. Very good. I like that. But he'll look at it as another vacation day. Alex, good luck this weekend. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.